This podcast is part of the Michigan Sports and Entertainment Podcast Network. Go to MichiganSportsAndEntertainment.com for more great podcasts.
This song makes me feel both exhausted and hangry. Everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyperanalyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm unshowered
you
today.
We are both unclean.
Yeah.
This is round three of our three-day podcast adventure down in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes, we're having a recording extravaganza. I'm good, I'm excited, but I'm a little sleepier than usual.
Right.
As I am unshowered, and I never feel awake without a shower.
These are the perfect ingredients for a wonderful podcast cocktail
that
we've got going on.
With this song, which might knock me out.
Oh, boy, yeah. This song is, it is a slog. I mean, you love it. You love this song.
I do love it.
Oh, boy. Not only do you love it, but our guest today also loves it. I had a feeling that she would, all the way from the Baltimore Towson border. Emily, welcome back to the podcast.
What's up?
What's up, Emily?
And for today, all the way from just meant like from your bedroom to your dining room.
Right? You guys are here.
We just came down to your dining room area to set up shop and record an episode on Jewel.
And for the record, I like you uncleaned.
Yeah. Well, you are likewise unclean. So
this is great.
Par for the course.
Dirty together.
Yeah.
Aww. Beautiful. Aw, friends.
Horrible. You know how bad this room probably stinks right now?
No, like just we're not smelly.
Three unwashed bodies.
Yeah.
Discussing Jewel. Yeah. It's bound to stink, guys.
Whatever.
So I heard this song on the radio station at work, I don't know, like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And I just had a feeling, Emily, that you were a massive Jewel fan back in the day.
And you texted me right away.
I texted you right away. And then I heard two other Jewel songs over the course of that day.
That's so funny.
And then Katie tells me that she also used to love Jewel.
I loved this album.
Yes.
Loved it.
I wore it out. Know just about every line of this album.
I don't.
You guys just had a foolish game sing-along. While I was using the bathroom.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was pretty nice.
It was nice to see you guys enjoying yourself. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember how the title song from this album goes.
Well,
isn't it? Sorry.
No, I was just going to introduce the song real quick and then we can discuss the album title. This is, of course, the 1996 song by Jewel, You Were Meant For Me, off of her debut album, Pieces of You. This song went to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 1 on the Adult Contemporary charts, number 1 mainstream top 40, number 1 adult top 40.
Yeah.
The album Pieces of You went 12 times platinum and spawned 3 number 1 hits, or excuse me, 3 top 10 hits, Who Will Save Your Soul, this, and of course, Foolish Game.
Which,
Katie, you said that was just the most ridiculous Jewel voice song.
That's where you get like the like Jewel, like deep church voice, and then the next moment, like the Jewel breathy voice.
Yeah,
we also get the
her. I can't really like.
It's like the pseudo yodel. It's the Jewel yodel. Yeah,
she's
an Alaskan yodeler, guys. Top 10 hit, right? Yeah,
I can't do her like weird back of the throat voice that well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for jumping in.
Oh, I will.
On that. But I
perfected it in 1996.
Yeah,
I bet you did.
By about 1998, Emily was basically a certified Jewel impressionist.
I might have gotten worn out by Jewel at that point.
Yeah,
but I definitely wore this album out.
But Foolish Games is where you get like that voice and the breathy voice just right next to each other.
I actually think Who Will Save Your Soul has the craziest.
Oh, on the like,
save your soul. Save your soul.
And I was like, la, la, ta, ta, just come here, boys. There ain't nothing for free. I was really surprised when you wanted to do this one, because I feel like this one is tame in comparison to some of her songs.
This song doesn't have nearly as much weird Jewel voice going on, but I think it does have the most absurd lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, that honestly, might be true.
I'll tell you what I told Katie. I think we could have discussed any Jewel song and the conversation would have been about the exact same.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Just Jewel as an entity. Ugh. Like, I can't.
But you know what? In 1996, like in the late 90s, I feel like she was... Teenage girls were like, this is about absolutely. My life. She's speaking directly to me.
My heart's broken too.
She knows how to write the most
love
deep
pancakes. Like, oh God.
I would do anything to get you back, including put the cat back on the toothpaste.
That is what drives me nuts about this song is how, like, oh man.
We'll get into that.
Yes.
I remember sophomore year of high school in a poetry unit. I didn't bring in Jewel, by the way. This isn't about me, and I won't name names.
Mm. Oh,
I will not.
Just name in case they're listening names. To the episode, right?
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Someone who knows them could be listening That's to the true. Episode. A girl in my class brought in Jewel's "I'm Sensitive" and made her vision board around that.
I got to pull up the track listing to this album because the titles alone.
I'm not song even, that defined her.
And you know what? When you reminded me of that, I was like, that was my song too.
I'm sensitive
and I'd like to stay that way.
Are you guys just going to sing every song on the album?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
I'm not even going to insert clips from the song this time.
You said you don't remember pieces of you.
I don't.
It's literally like, and it was, and then pieces of you.
That's right.
Who will save your soul? Pieces of you, little sister, foolish games, near you always, painters, morning song, Adrian, I'm sensitive. You were meant for me. Don't. Daddy, angel standing by, and amen.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy. Daddy. So, can I also tell you, she had a book of poetry.
Yes, she did, which is something that I talked about later on. That I wanted to talk about later on.
Okay, well, then we can save it, because I have a lot to say about that book of poetry.
Did you own the book of poetry?
I don't think I owned it, but someone definitely either gave it to me or I borrowed it. But it's basically what ruined Jewel for me. Well,
I had the book of poetry.
Still?
It wasn't great. No.
You got rid of one book in your life, and it was Jewel's book of poetry.
I've gotten rid of so many books. I know there's an abundance of books in our house, but that's not nearly all the books I've ever owned.
What was the name of the book? Oh, A Knight Without Armor.
And every single
But Knight
poem.
Was N-I-G-H-T.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Every single poem was about her fucked up teeth and her big ass boobs.
Okay.
And that's why I was like, not the teeth, because I have fabulous teeth, but I had big boobs and I was like, Jewel gets me. She gets me. And then I read it again as like a senior and I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, this is lame poetry.
Yeah.
Well, this album, I think, could only have been a success in the mid-90s when aimed at teenage girls.
Oh, my God.
So.
Give me this and the Indigo Girls and my Ani DeFranco. Yeah. Get ready for the Lilith
Give me
Lilith
some
Fair.
Sean Colvin. Yeah. Give me some Paula
Sarah
Cole.
McLachlan.
Give me some Sarah McLachlan.
It was a girl power movement, but all of these songs are literally about how she is frail and looking for her boyfriend.
Yes.
And like,
yeah.
This is not like a female empowerment album in retrospect.
No. Although Jewel does consider herself a feminist.
I'm not surprised by that. So, I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's fine. It just
she can do that.
Maybe not this early in her career. She didn't really have the same opinions of feminism that she does now.
How old was she when this album came out?
I can find out.
I think we
20.
Need to know. She was a baby
when she wrote these songs, at least.
Well, they were written in 1994. Let me see if I can find out.
Because even watching the video for this song, and we won't get into the details of it right now, but just looking at her little teeny baby face
she was
in this video, she looks so young.
Yeah, she would have been 20 when she wrote this song. Yeah. These songs, yeah. 22 when this was released.
So,
23 when it went to number 1.
She was a babe.
And how long? I mean, like, they were all written in 94. I bet she had like a couple of these in her repertoire, you know?
Probably.
These are coming straight from journaling in high school.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh my God. She was absolutely.
She was 20 when they were recorded, I guess would be a better assessment.
Yeah.
So, no. Should we get into the song, or do we want to ask Emily about her first concert experience?
Oh, I want to ask Emily about her first concert.
This is actually really good.
Yeah.
Ask me.
So, Emily,
I just want everyone to know that Emily actually, like, did a come at me motion with her hands. It was like, come at me,
bro. She actually did the motion that Jewel and the man in the video do.
Oh my God. Reaching out
longingly.
The reaching.
So, Emily, tell us about your first concert experience.
My first concert experience was Ugly Kid Joe opening up for Led Zeppelin.
What?
For Def Leppard.
What sort of parallel universe? Oh, wait a second. Did you just confuse Led Zeppelin and Def Leppard?
I did.
You were so ready.
I didn't confuse them. They are sound alike.
What?
They do sound alike. You're right. I agree with you.
How in a moment. Dare you do that to Def Leppard? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Ugly Kid Joe. Their famous song was Cats in the Cradle.
So they had a cover of Cats in the Cradle, and then their other big song was I Hate Everything About You.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I love that.
And then they
also
had a song called like Neighborhood, but I don't really remember how that goes. But that was another single of theirs.
How does I Hate Everything About You?
I hate the rain and sunny weather.
I like that song. I like that song a lot.
And I hate everything about you.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It also had an introduction by the character It's Pat from Saturday Night Live.
Weird. Yeah, so. Oh my God. I did not like choose this concert. I was invited to go.
How old were you? How did this happen?
I'm saying you were a huge Ugly Kid Joe fan.
I mean, I was after the concert. Can you sang Cats in the Cradle.
My favorite thing last night that we learned was that Andy's favorite dad in the or Andy's favorite, favorite dad. Dad Andy's dad's, favorite dad dad's favorite band is Collective Soul. And I am amazed by that. I think that's he's like a huge Collective Soul. Andy was saying he passed out Collective Soul tapes to his fans.
Just to contextualize this, this is Andy from our recent Vitamin C episode. Andy from our recent episode on Vitamin C, it's his dad who had a period of time in the 90s where Collective Soul
music
was his favorite band.
Collective Soul. And I think Collective Soul is fine.
But it's still weird.
To be
it's
so weird. That's it's so anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But it's fun.
I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
It was the summer before eighth grade.
That makes sense.
And I was in Annie with a friend of mine from Annie.
Was Def Leppard still big?
No. It was like 90.
Where was it?
I don't remember at all. It was, you know, at Merriweather or something. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that must have been like 1994?
Yeah, 94. Yeah, so no, it was the summer before eighth grade. A friend of mine from Annie and her parents. That's what it was. It was like her parents were big metalheads.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, bring your friend. And she was like,
tell my dad something.
Your dad's not here, bud. Sorry about this.
It's okay.
I forget what we were talking about.
We were talking about the concert. So, your friend from Annie, her parents were big metalheads.
Yes.
And that's how you ended up going to this concert.
And it was so loud, and my little delicate ears were like, oh, this is very loud. And I was like, all about Ugly Kid Joe, but then Def Leppard came on, and I was like, who are these men in cat suits?
Yeah. With their big British flag sleeveless t-shirts singing about getting rocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't care for Def Leppard?
I did not.
What about now? Do you like Def Leppard?
I mean, they're fine.
Oh, boy.
I'm not a big hair metal gal.
Yeah, you know what? You're not.
What's your favorite Def Leppard song, Brad?
My favorite Def Leppard song is, Armageddon. It's really good, but that's not my favorite. I would say Love Bites is an excellent song. Hysteria is a great song.
Armageddon is the song title.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yes, I'm a getting it.
So the way that Brad feels about Def Leppard and how he couldn't pick a favorite song was how Emily and I probably felt about this very Jewel album.
Seriously.
Very Jewel album.
And then in junior year of high school, I broke up with the love of my life.
Uh-huh.
Graham Savage. Yes, I called
Shout
him
out to Graham.
What is David?
David.
Isn't he the love of your life?
I was 16, okay. 17.
At the time he was your... Well, okay, I thought you were...
He was the love of my life at the time. Come
obviously.
On. He was my high school boyfriend. Anyway, yeah. We broke up junior year or senior year, one of those things. And I listened to this album. And that's what did it. It was like, I listened to this album. I read her poetry. I noticed it was bad. And then Kurt Loder made fun of her on TV.
Yeah, oh, that's the best.
And then that was it. I had a Jewel... But now I'm like totally nostalgic for it. I still love it.
Would you go ahead and read the chorus for us?
I will. Dreams last so long, even after you're gone. I know that you love me, and soon you will see that you were meant for me. And I was meant for you.
I didn't ask you to act it out.
She can't help it.
I just want you to read the goddamn song.
Ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous. She's like a desperate... little girl.
Oh,
she was a desperate little girl.
Yeah, that's fine. What about us as an audience? Are we allowed to call her out on that, right?
Well,
yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
She's pining for this guy. It makes me feel like she's the reason they broke up.
Oh, she was
for
like,
sure. Yeah. She was the neediest girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll do whatever
she was living
you want.
In her car at the time. She needed this man
she
in
did.
Her life.
Poor Jewel.
Oh, poor Jewel.
This man who in the video is about 20 years older than she is.
And wearing a blue pirate shirt?
Yes, he is.
No, wasn't it like one of those things from the 70s?
Well, it was like a tuxedo.
Like a tuxedo shirt. Yeah.
So that was the co-writer of this song, a guy named Steve Poltz.
I did not know that that guy had anything to do with this song.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
So he co-wrote this song. And... you know what my problem with the song is
you're it's, a man. It's, you don't no. get it.
First of all, don't you dare give me a nasty stereotype. What I do get is that this song is like childishly simple.
Yes.
You know, and this very old man.
He's not that old. No, what is he, 30?
He's 20 years. I'm 15, 20 years older than Jewel, I would say. That's a guess based on how he looks. But that also might be like the washed out video and all the gray palette.
He didn't look that old to me.
But no, me either.
They should have a better vocabulary. And if she is going to go on to write a book of goddamn poetry, like, her vocabulary should be less basic than this.
I don't know. Katie, as an English teacher, aren't we always sort of taught that like simple and succinct is best?
Succinct is best. Simple isn't always best. I mean, you want to get away. We just talked about this with vitamin C.
Yeah, just last week.
You want to get away yesterday. From simply saying things like big this or big that or a lot of this or very that in order to use a more descriptive vocabulary. So the idea is not necessarily to keep it simple as in use basic vocabulary. The idea is to use the best word to describe something instead of using, like, say, four tiny words in a row.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Instead of using four tiny words in a row, use the one descriptive word to really say what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate that.
I'm not bothered by the vocabulary of this chorus, at least. I gotta think about the rest of the song as we go.
I am bothered by the series of lines, and soon you will see you were meant for me and I was meant for you.
You could definitely turn this song sinister.
Yeah.
With just a little bit of different music.
Actually.
It's sad desperation or sinister.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We'll get into it. Never mind. I'm already thinking about the third, how that applies to the third.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, this song is a bummer. Like, you just want to shake the speaker in this palm and say, sweetie, move on. You just said that dreams last for so long, even after you're gone. Like, this guy's been out of there for a while.
Yeah.
It's true.
And only now is she deciding to change her habits in order to get this guy
you're
back.
You're just sitting around going,
it's taken a while to get it together.
I know you love me and you're going to be back because you were meant for me.
I know you love me.
I was meant for you. And she does sing that part in her baby voice.
Baby voice and weird Yoda.
Yoda voice.
Yodely. You were meant.
Meant for me.
You were meant.
For me, you were meant.
For yodely, no, yodely Yoda church voice.
For me, you were meant. Oh,
God, I'm so sorry. How is it your voice is so quiet on this microphone 90% of the time? And then when you get loud like that, you lean into the microphone.
I know it's going to blow your ears. I'm not trying to do it.
I'm keeping my hand on the volume for your microphone specifically.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to do it.
Oh, I need to not be so funny, I guess.
So funny.
Go ahead. I'm
sorry. Can I tell you just like something seriously messed up about this song, according to Steve Poltz?
Yeah.
So evidently, Steve Poltz and Jewel wrote this song. This is according to him. They wrote this song together in a car on a drive down to Mexico where they were riding along in a drug bust.
Oh, nice.
So, what?
Yeah. While they were driving, the lyrics that they wrote almost flew out the window. And he contemplated just letting him go, but then eventually they stopped the car so they could go back and get pick the lyrics up. And the cops evidently armed both Poltz and Jewel with AK-47s, but fortunately no shots were fired.
This is a made-up story, right?
This doesn't make any sense, but that's what Steve Poltz said about the song.
I just Googled Steve Poltz, by the way, and he was born in 1960. So when they wrote this song,
he was 14 years older than
Jewel. He was 34 years old. Yeah. So you were right.
Yeah.
You were like, he looks about 15 years older than her, and you were correct.
Yeah.
Everybody looks like babies to me these days.
Well, he's younger. He was younger then than we are now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. In the video, he's still a few years younger than we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
The other crazy thing about this is this album didn't chart initially. It was re-released 2 years later, and it had newly recorded versions of this.
I remember that.
And Foolish Games.
Yes.
They recorded this song 3 times in order to make it a single. Yeah.
Wow.
Because in the video, it was different from like the album that I listened to.
Well, that was, was a video produced by Sean Penn, who was dating Jewel.
What? Holy smokes! How old is Sean Penn?
Oh, he's like 30. He's got to be like 20, 30 years older than Jewel.
No.
But yeah,
he was
so
in his 20s in the 80s.
It was, it was called the Juan Patino remix, and it didn't get enough airplay on MTV, so they like stopped playing it entirely, and then they re-recorded it like this with that weird flute thing going on in the background.
I absolutely remember that, like, it wasn't true to my album.
Yeah.
Being like, this is not, this
Jewel really broke your heart.
She did.
And soon she will see.
Over and over again.
That you were meant for her.
Sean Penn was also born in 1960. So he's also 14 years older than
Jewel. So he's the same age as Steve Poltz.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Well, regardless.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Based on the pictures on Wikipedia, he is not aging as well as Steve Poltz is. Steve Poltz, looking pretty good. Sean Penn.
Looks like a penis. He does. Have you seen him?
He doesn't look like my penis.
Like a penis nose kind of going. You know? Why are you shocked by that? It's very wrinkly and tan.
Oh, God.
He still has a full head of hair. I'm so sorry.
Never.
Do I need to just give up?
Have you seen The Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
No.
Sean Penn doesn't look much like a penis in that movie.
I think you should look at him, what's happening now.
Hmm.
Something. He wasn't in anything recently. I just seen
Secret Life of Walter Mitty. He was basically like a dick in a parka.
Oh.
What? I'm so confused, and I just looked at a picture of him.
Yeah.
You got, I mean, you don't have to believe me.
Hey, you know what?
He's always had a penis nose, though.
Mm.
Emily, you are free to come up with whatever analogies for people's appearances that work for you.
You don't agree with it, but you've never noticed that some noses look like penises?
No.
Really?
Nope.
I don't believe it.
And you know who else never noticed, Jewel?
No, I don't know. No.
Yes, you do.
More importantly, I've never seen a penis that looks like a nose.
Nope.
Don't look for it right now.
Yeah. We've got stuff to do. We got to drive back to
fry.
Hello. Read the lyrics.
Katie, do you want to go ahead and read verse one for us?
I'm sorry.
I hear the clock at 6 a.m. I feel so far from where I've been.
I've got my eggs. I've got my pancakes too. I've got my maple syrup. Everything but you.
Sorry.
I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kind of like it in my brand new place. Wipe the spots off of the mirror. Don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels on the floor anymore, cause, etc.
Okay, so can we start with all the breakfast stuff?
This is really what bothers this you about this song. This,
I don't understand why.
You know what? It's not just the breakfast stuff, although the breakfast stuff is part of what, like, her description, the descriptors that she uses in the song, not just eggs and maple syrup and a smiley face made out of egg yolks and... I never put wet towels on the floor anymore. And then it continues on through the next two verses. And it's just like, you're telling me you never put wet towels on the floor anymore because you were meant for me?
See, Brad, I think what, I don't know, like, if this is what this song has always meant for me, is that, like, when you are heartbroken.
It was meant for you.
It was meant for me. She was speaking directly to me.
Yeah.
Emily Crone, 1996. I'm just saying, that song is about grief. It is about how you go from day to day all the time. And when your heart is broken, when you are mourning the loss of something, it is on you like a ton of bricks, even as you're putting the cap back on the toothpaste and you're wiping the spots above.
Okay. No, but what doing, the imagery that I love.
Breakfast, you're still heartbroken.
The imagery that I love slash hate is sad Jewel in her apartment making a smiley face like IHOP breakfast with like two sunny side up eggs and some bacon, just sitting there all sad putting maple syrup on her.
But like, it's, I think it's a really like genuine, it's simple. It is absolutely childish and simple, but it's also like very, I don't know, it felt very true to life because it's like, the mundane is where the pain is. Like when you're busy or when you're socializing, you can kind of like move on. When you are alone in your apartment, going through a breakup.
That she kind of likes. She kind of likes this place. She kind of likes it.
I think it is talking about grief.
Yeah, I'm with Emily here.
I know what it's about. The question is not, do you get it, Brad? Yes, because I get it. I just think it's dumb. Like plain and simple.
So what I was going to say is that I agree with Emily here about like what the song is about.
Right.
And I know that you know what the song is about as well. I kind of swing in the middle because I do also see the silliness when you allow this imagery to create a picture in your mind.
I've been girl. I just have been that girl. So like it is like nostalgic. That's the other thing. There's such nostalgia. Even because like... there have been breakups in your life that have been so devastating. It felt like you would never get past it.
Absolutely.
And now you're like laughing about it. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly what I was going to say about this. Like we've all had moments in our life where you are going through your day to day and everything you're doing is kind of coded in.
You are laughing at us. We're talking about our pain.
I'm not. I'm imagining something else, which I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Where you're going through your day to day and like everything that you're doing is kind of overshadowed by or coded by the sad feelings that you're having. But if I were doing what Jewel did here, like if I were sitting at 6 o'clock in the morning with just picture pancakes. Everything that's happening at 6 a.m. with eggs and pancakes and maple syrup and I'm a sad sack and I'm crying my eyes out and I am making a smiley face with the yolk while I'm just like sadly eating my breakfast far too early in the morning for a 20-year-old. I would hope that later on I could look back at that moment and laugh at myself. This is all I've been trying to say for like the last 3 minutes. Just like, yes, grief, but also just like allow the picture to wash over.
Oh my
over
God.
You.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely it is.
But I don't think that it's so ridiculous that it shouldn't be written about because we have all done things like this. I have like tried to get through my day and now I don't know if I made a smiley face with the, that's the part that like tips over the edge for me.
Yes.
But we've all like tried to do normal things and just like started felt really crying. Sad or cried through it. And I know that about myself, I can look back at that later and be like, isn't it funny how yeah. I was doing the dishes and you came into the kitchen and I turned around and I was like, so I'm crying.
Right.
You know, which just happened like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, yeah.
In the moment when I was by myself crying doing the dishes, I was just crying and being sad. As soon as Brad was in the room, it was hilarious. It was like immediately
absolutely.
Funny.
Absolutely.
He was very sweet. He was like, are you okay? And then I was like, yeah, I'm crying and doing the dishes. And then it was hilarious. Yeah.
I just, what I want, what I need in my life is like a video montage of people doing like cheerful things while super sad. Like I want to see the just person crying. Sitting down at IHOP with their Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity or getting like a birthday cake and they just have the little thing going like with a little hat on or like
just
like,
eating some cereal
sparklers but just like sad
crying.
I love this. This so, is a video series that we need.
But you know what, I swear to God, I think we could go through 90s videos and find this.
Yeah,
like this is that's the thing about it is like this is the 90s.
Why are you framing your face?
Because I'm thinking about Blind Melon's Butterfly. No, Bumblebee Girl.
Yeah. Bumblebee Girl. Yeah,
Bumblebee Girl. I don't know why this signifies Bumblebee Girl. I am framing my face with my hands,
like a jazz hand.
In a jazz yeah. hand way. But it, for me, it represents Bumblebee Girl.
Okay.
But I feel like it is. It's a, such a 90s.
You've got someone going angsty. Through a field of flowers, but just looking but so like sad
crying.
About it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Contemplating.
Crying about it.
Just contemplating yeah. things.
I break the yolks and make the smiley face. I kind of like it in my brand new place. I wipe the spots up over me. Don't leave the keys in the door. I never put a towel on the floor anymore.
We were so deep in the 90s.
I don't know. Were we, though? Were we?
We wanted to be so deep in the 90s.
That's really
I know,
what it
that's,
comes down
yeah.
to.
Should we
wanted to.
Continue the depth by having Brad read verse 2?
Oh, please, can we?
Mm-hmm. There's stuff going on here that I have questions about.
This is probably the strongest verse in the song, I think. Although I don't have much to choose
fascinating.
From.
Fascinating.
Go ahead.
It's not a strong verse. I just think it's the
I thought
least...
you were going to start reading. You were like taking a pause and like a breath.
Yeah.
To give it your all.
I called my mama. She was out for a walk. Consoled a cup of coffee, but it didn't want to talk. So I picked up the paper. It was more bad news. More hearts are being broken. Or people being used. Put on a coat in the pouring rain. I saw a movie and it just wasn't the same. Because it was happy or I was sad. And it made me miss you oh so bad. The sad bad rhyme. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. elementary school. I wouldn't even call that middle school poetry. That is elementary school. Sad, bad, glad.
Mad.
Mad. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
News and used. That's pretty good.
News and used is okay.
That's fine. Walk and talk. Simple. I mean, not cringeworthy bad. I called my mama. She was out for a walk. Shouldn't it be consult a cup of coffee?
Yes. I want that lyric to be, I'd consult a cup of coffee, but it didn't want to talk. Because that's what would make sense. Why would you be consoling your cup of coffee?
Because you wanted the cup of coffee to be consoling you.
But that's not what that says, right? Like, it would make sense to call mom. Like, I want to talk to someone because I'm sad. So I call my mom, but she's out for a walk. How do you know that, psychic jewel, by the way?
She said, oh, sorry, I missed your call. I was out for a walk.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Regardless.
So if you move from the phone call to talking to your coffee, you are not consoling the cup of coffee. You're consulting the cup of coffee. Like, cup of coffee, listen to me about my problems. Oh, even my coffee won't listen to me when I'm sad.
Well, I guess it's back to you, stack of pancakes. But that's a great segue into what we were talking about before with her with her book of poetry, A Knight Without Armor, Knight, N-I-G-H-T.
Knight.
So she releases this book of poetry that Emily, you loved, and...
Oh, that's not what Emily said. That, don't misrepresent her
about boobs.
She loves Jewel, and Jewel writes poetry, therefore Emily loves Jewel. Jewel's poetry. That's the transitive property right there.
Nice.
So she's being interviewed by Kurt Loder on MTV News.
Oh, this is my favorite.
And he points out to her that she misused the word casualty when she should have used the word casually. And that is published in the book.
Now, do we know what the line was?
I don't have the line, no.
He but had Katie her asked, like read it. I feel like he had her read it.
I think,
and
that's
then
the case.
He was like,
"I tried looking it up
casually?
On YouTube and couldn't find anything."
Oh my god, I have such a vivid memory of this moment, and it was like, "Oh yeah, Jewel's not as deep as I thought she was.
You're not as smart as you thought she was." So, Katie, as the English teacher, do you want to tell us real quick what the word casualty means?
It's a death. It's like when you kill something or end it. Yeah.
But casually means?
Like in a relaxed manner.
So this too wild.
Do you know I panicked just now when you asked me to define
it? I saw you panic. I saw it rising.
So Jewel's response to Kurt Loder was, "You're a smartass for pointing that out."
Is he though?
I'm going to come to Kurt Loder's defense and say, like, that's much better than being a dumbass, Jewel.
Oh, it's funny because it was like, I don't know. And it was also not an attractive response. You know what I mean? Like when Jewel was like, "You're a smart ass."
She was like angry and she couldn't just own her mistake.
Right. It was like, Jewel.
Can you imagine how hard it would be to be in that position though? It was sort of a gotcha question
totally
on his part.
I mean, gotcha question or like
journalist.
Good,
he's an
criticism.
Interviewer. Yeah, I get like, it, but it would be hard to respond to that gracefully.
Yeah,
true. And she was still like only in her 20s when it happened, but it was like, regardless, it was like,
it's
it was
really
a
embarrassing.
It was
she,
a moment.
She must have had an editor.
Right.
Like,
but you know what? There are.
Oh, I hate seeing a typo. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In Game of Thrones, there are lots of typos. Mm-hmm. And like,
well, I didn't read those, so I can't really point out the.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I was trying to think of like a big series where there's like stuff problem-y.
Well, A Knight Without Armor has, at
there
the very
some
least.
Problems with
in fact, Jewel called the entire album pieces of you, quote, imperfect, full of mistakes and guitar flubs. So, not just her book of poetry.
No,
but
it's her first album.
Yeah, but whatever. Yeah. That's fine. Everybody makes mistakes and has it. There's plenty of guitar flubs out there in the world. That's not really a thing, but
casually versus casualty though.
Yeah,
that's rough.
That is rough.
How old were you when you learned the word casually or casualty for that matter? Certainly younger than Jewel was at this point.
If I'm typing something up, you have no idea what's coming out.
Yeah, but you're also not publishing a book.
I am not.
Yeah. So
that's really rough. Ooh, that's cringy.
Yeah.
Very, very embarrassing that no one caught it.
I also want to know. So Jewel was living in San Diego at the time. It is like, what type of news is going on in San Diego where the local paper is publishing things about heartbreaks and people being used?
You know,
it doesn't have to be the local paper, though.
Oh, that's true.
It's true.
I mean, national news is a bummer every day.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to do with heartbreaking. Oh, this person had their heart broken.
It doesn't have to be romantic heartbroken.
It doesn't.
I just said.
Katie.
Kurt.
We just called out Jewel.
Nirvana. Oh my God.
Cobain.
Cobain died.
Cobain.
That was heartbreaking for lots of people.
That's true.
And remember the early 90s was a time of angst, man. We didn't get like rolling in like, you know, the happiness until later in the 90s when, you know, things got better.
Were we rolling in happiness later in the 90s?
I mean, the Spice Girls came out and like the boy bands and we were much more like, I don't know. I feel like music got a lot happier.
I thought you were talking about news when you said we were rolling in happiness later in the 90s.
I mean,
but
you know,
were talking about
the
music.
Economy
yeah, that's
was
fine.
Good.
I guess so. I don't remember. I mean, I was not checked into what was really happening in the world when
either.
I was in high school.
I was a little tiny bit.
But
not really.
I would say that you could easily pick up a paper and see heartbreak and people being used.
I guess maybe I'm just interpreting that because this song is about Jewel's heart being broken.
Yeah. So. But if she's reading the newspaper as a distraction, what's happening is she's only being reminded of other sad things happening in the world, which in turn makes her feel sad again. Mm-hmm. She even tries to go to a movie, and then a happy movie makes her feel bummed out.
Yeah.
Are all of like Jewel's big songs about being sad?
No. So it's this and Foolish Games, but then Who Will Save Your Soul is about materialism, 90s materialism, you know, like Fight Club.
I'm trying to think of the lyrics of that song now.
Who Will Save Your Soul? It's all about like, okay, on TV, they say they're better than you and you agree. Like, it's about celebrities being cooler than, like, you know, losing our soul to materialism.
And then Jewel went on to be, as you put it, like a fake Britney Spears.
She tried to be a pop star. That was terrible.
Am I standing still?
That was what, early 2000s?
No, but then there was another one. That would have been
like 98.
It's Am I Standing Still? But then after that, there was one even more, like, she was trying to be sexy in her video and was like, I need to leave. It was something like that. I'm not sexy? Kidding.
Is that no. sexy? Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that song was, but I do remember her in a video, like, in a tiny outfit with backup dancers and stuff.
Yes. I'm telling you.
I don't remember that.
So she needs to go back and listen to Who Will Save Your Soul and like find herself and
reconnect to 20-year-old Jewel. And then she's more recently switched to country music.
Right.
So,
which was, I think she always loved that.
I think country music is probably a more logical
leap
evolution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of Jewel's music.
Agreed.
So,
yeah, I mean, singer songwriter with a guitar. Yodeler.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2008, she had a country album called Perfectly Clear that topped the country charts.
Wow.
So, 2003, she switched to a dance pop kind of sound.
I said early 2000s.
Yeah. So.
You know I love to be right.
I know you do.
I called my mom and she was out for a walk. Consoled a cup of coffee, but it didn't want to talk. So I picked up the paper, it was more bad news. My heart's been broken.
Should we do the bridge in verse 3?
Yeah, who's up here? Is that Emily? Is Emily doing
it again? Emily, do you want to read the bridge, but then I'll go right into verse 3 and then we'll chat about it?
Yes.
Okay.
I go about my business. I'm doing fine. Besides, what would I say if I had you on the line? Same old story. Not much to say. Hearts are broken every day.
I brush my teeth. I put the cap back on. I know you hate it when I leave the light on. I pick up a book and then I turn the sheets down and I take a deep breath and go look around. Put on my PJs and hop into bed. I'm half alive, but I feel mostly dead. I try and tell myself it'll all be all right. I just shouldn't think anymore tonight.
This is melodramatic. This is wildly melodramatic.
So melodramatic.
Oh my God. So
when you were talking earlier about like the creeper,
mm-hmm.
This is where it's real creeper. That for me, it's like,
why?
Cause like, it's the part where she's like, I put the cap back on, you know, it's like, you know, like I put the cap back on the thing and I do the things and I'm, you know, like, do you know, like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know
where
I'm going.
Well put. Well put, Emily.
Like, I'm going to do all of these things that you tell me to do because you don't like it when I leave the light on.
So now I'm changing.
I'm going to do all, you know, like.
I'm changing myself and hopefully you'll love me then. I can just
see her, like, rocking on the floor. Like, I'm going to put the cap back on the thing and I'm going to wipe off the thing and no more towels on the floor.
And I'm going to make sure to turn the lights off because you hate it when I leave the lights on.
You hate it when I leave the light on.
She's like talking to somebody who's not there at all, doing all these things that he's not there to see.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She's singing to him.
Oh, she cray.
So she cray.
She cray.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
She is indeed cray.
And like, maybe it's just the right time in your life, 20-year-old, to start like capping your toothpaste when you're done with it and picking your towel up off the floor.
Pick your goddamn towels up.
But you know what? It does make me think about like being young and being a terrible roommate, which I was. Sorry, everybody, that I was roommates with.
No. But like, blanket statement to the world.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah. I was a terrible roommate. And like the first time I lived with a guy, I was like a slob and he was like, can you pick up after yourself? And then when we broke up, I was like, I am a terrible roommate. It's hard to live with me. And you know, like, I just feel, it feels so relatable.
Yeah.
At the time. Totally melodramatic, Brad. I'm not saying it's not, but like, I've been this girl.
Were there other songs on this album with these titles? Do you remember these? Rocker Girl, Angel Needs a Ride, Cold Song, and Emily?
I don't remember those songs.
I don't remember those songs at all. Well, I had the first two albums. I remember that. But then after that, I had lost interest in Jewel. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this was some sort of like extended re-release years later.
That had because extra this has, songs on it?
Yeah, the site I'm looking at now has like 18 tracks listed on it.
Oh my God.
One of which is Emily. And so I thought you would remember that.
I can't believe I didn't know about an Emily song.
Why the hell would Jewel put out a song called Rocker Girl?
Right.
Ugh.
Maybe she saw herself as a rocker girl.
She thought that she rocked.
No.
Yeah. she's coffee shop music.
She is coffee
shop
music.
She's a teenager playing in a coffee shop, which is how she developed her
acoustic
following.
Acoustic guitar and bare feet.
Yeah.
The bridge is the only part of the song where the person seems to actually be coming to terms with what's really happening. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I appreciate the bridge. You know, that's a moment of clarity where this person who's going through a breakup is like, I got to get on with this. Hearts are broken every day. I know I feel like I want to talk to you, but if I actually had you on the phone, like, what would I even say here?
Yeah.
You know, like, time to move on. But then we go right back into feeling half alive, but mostly dead. That's my least favorite line of
the song. That's the super melodramatic part that I was talking about. I also think that there are some words that just do not work in song form at all.
What do you mean?
PJs.
Do you want Jimmy Jams?
No, I don't want that.
Jammies.
Pajamas.
Put on my jammies. And
put on my jammies.
Can we just sound like adult humans and use the word pajamas when writing a song? That's especially
put on
one
my
that's
pajamas.
Like, especially one that's like supposed to be like sad.
PJs. She could say sweatpants. She could say nightgown. Like
put
I'm
on my t-shirt. Put on my throw on.
Got ready for bed.
Or like
instead of put on my PJs,
throw on your t-shirt and hop into bed. I'm half alive, but I feel mostly dead. If you want to go full melodrama, like go there, girl.
Go there.
Gosh. But PJs is juvenile.
I like
my rewriting just now.
Oh, I appreciate your rewriting.
When I say
I still don't care about PJs.
When I say PJs in my day-to-day life, it's not. I'm never like sad, and I say to Katie, like, hey.
Let's go put on our PJs.
I guess I'm gonna have to put on my PJs.
I don't think I've ever used the term PJs because we are a jammy family.
we say jammies a lot also. Yeah,
jammies, but like, jim jams.
Jimmy jams.
You're the only human that says that.
No, that's a British thing.
It's ugh.
We've already proven this.
Yeah, sure you have. But like, I can't help but think if I wrote that lyric, then the audience I would imagine would be like. It's like a little laugh after hearing. Like,
as you're so serious, put on.
It's such a
PJs.
Wild. Yeah.
Hop into bed.
I don't. I think like
I'm
when
just
you're
eating
in,
my sad pancakes with this
pancakes.
Smile. How am I not supposed to laugh at that? How do you write that song and say like people are going to take this seriously?
I have no idea.
People did.
Oh, they did.
I did too.
I did
fully,
and I'm still invested. I'm still so nostalgic.
I mean,
looking
back at it now, do you feel like those things that I find absurd are absurd?
So here's what's funny, and I've thought about this a lot recently because Rent, you know, like they did the live version of Rent recently. So looking at Rent as an adult, like an objective adult, that show was not the most well written, and it was pretty. There are very melodramatic, like angsty 90s. There are a lot of problems with that musical.
It doesn't fully hold up. Now, to be fair to it, it wasn't completely finished.
It was,
but yeah, I'm with you. I watched that and I was like, even beyond this lousy performance of it,
yes,
I'm not sure this holds up outside of it. It's not timeless.
It is not timeless. If it came out now, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe was about like artists and whatever. If it came out now, I would be like, this is totally melodramatic. And I remember going to see it my freshman year. I saw the original cast and the professors and the teachers that went with us were like, I had so many problems with it. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like they were bashing it. And the rest of us were still crying on the bus, like so affected by it. So no matter what, even though the performance wasn't perfect, even though I can rationally, objectively see the flaws and the issues, I love it. I will always love it. I know every single word to that musical, and I am totally nostalgic for it. And that's how I feel about this album. I probably won't list, like, I don't own it anymore. I probably won't buy it. But, like, and as a rational adult, objective adult, absolutely. I see the absurdity. I see how angsty and, like, melodramatic it was. But, like, I'm totally, totally nostalgic for it.
Yeah, Brad, you saw as soon as we played any song from this album this afternoon, Emily and I
immediately
switched from like making fun of it to like very seriously singing it at the top of our lungs.
It's my childhood.
Yeah. I could make fun of this song all day long. I could visualize her eating her sad breakfast and laugh my ass off at that. And then turn this song on and watch all humor disappear.
Oh.
I will be serious.
I had two things.
Okay.
One.
Sorry. That was so weird. I don't know what that is.
You're weird.
I am.
One, I want to start with Emily referring to herself as a rational adult.
I am a rational adult. There are moments when I'm very rational. I am a social worker.
And two, that's kind of how I feel with hair metal. And yeah. I constantly get ragged on for it.
And Air Supply, come on.
Yeah. And I, yeah.
There are things that you can rationally look at and say, like, this is silly, but you know what? I love it.
Well, to be fair, I never thought it was not silly. I was never like, you guys have to listen to the words to this hair metal song. If you could hear Def Leppard just scream out in pain over Love Bites, then you'd get it.
You have absolutely, like, talked about, like, the musical depth of hair metal.
Oh, I mean, there are certain songs. There's like we were talking about with my brother, Something to Believe In by Poison.
Yeah.
That's like a legit good song.
I don't know that we have not looked at the lyrics and taken the opportunity to make fun of it. And when we talked about Air Supply.
Would you like me to recite all of them to you right now?
Hold on. When we talked about Air Supply, at no point. Uh-huh. Did you acknowledge that those lyrics are ridiculous?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that.
You just brought up Air Supply.
But what we're talking about, we're talking about is like nostalgia and how I'm going to belt that song out when I hear it. And all of the humor in the ridiculousness that we discussed when we went over that song goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I get ragged on for Air Supply and for hair metal.
Well,
frequently.
I just think with Air Supply, you're less likely to criticize it in the way that Emily and I have criticized Jewel today.
I disagree. I think we did plenty of criticizing in Air Supply. I just followed that up with like, oh yeah, this is the perfect song. So, but like, he makes all the stadiums rock. Give me a break. Air Supply does not make anything rock. It's so mellow.
They are not rockers.
The polar opposite of rock.
All right.
So, but it does rock. So there's that.
Yeah.
Well, you rag on us for this, and we'll continue to rag on you for that. And we all fairsy squaresies.
It's true.
Fairsy squaresies. Oh boy.
I love this song, and I don't think it's a poorly written song. I think it's melodramatic.
Absolutely.
Totally melodramatic.
Absolutely, but in a really fun way.
Do you think it would be like
it's not a bad song though.
It's not a bad song. I refuse to say it as
selective word choice that makes me laugh out loud, which takes me, I guess, out of the seriousness the song.
Mm-hmm.
How would you grade it for a high school student turning this in?
This is like a good product. Like a B+.
Yeah.
You don't think it should be like stronger for somebody of that age group?
No.
Again, I still feel that there's something beautiful in simplicity.
Even if
it's like you see juvenile.
Right.
I see simple.
Okay.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with simple.
No, I think
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think simple when done right can be beautiful.
Absolutely.
So I think this misses the mark.
Well, you're asking me about a high school student though, and and she probably was a high school student when she came up with a lot of these ideas.
At the very least, just passed.
If they recorded when she was 20, you know? She's pretty close to that age.
She got held back a couple of times because of her bad vocabulary.
No, I don't think her vocabulary is bad here. What I was going to say is we have to give people, we have to think about the life experience that someone is applying to what they're writing. At 37, you could apply a lot more life experience to what you're writing than Jewel could have when in somewhere between 1992 and 1994, she was writing these songs. So
when she was in a drug bust shootout with Steve Poltz in Mexico, armed with an AK-47.
If I'm looking at this as a high school student writing something, well, it makes sense that what they're talking about is like making breakfast and maybe
trying to get through their day.
A high school student is, if they're writing this specific poem, is only just imagining what it would be like to live with a boyfriend. So when it comes down to like the silly things he would have a problem with, it's probably the same as like the silly things their parents have a problem with.
I was
so actually like, I think this is fine.
When I move out on my own, I'm going to eat pancakes every day.
I'm going to break the yolk.
I'm going to have a nice sunny side up egg and some maple syrup to throw my towels all over the floor.
I'm going to clean up after myself without anybody asking me.
Yeah, kids rule.
Kids rule.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was thinking like that when Brad said, what's, you know, like as a high school product, I was like, the emotional range of a high school student is not that like vast, right?
I don't know. It depends on the kiddo.
But also, you know, is one thing about adolescence and the before the frontal lobe is like connected to the rest of the brain, right? There is a everything is the end of the world.
Sure.
Heartbreak is all consuming.
Oh, yeah.
So it is very hard to get through your day. So like the melodrama, but but that's what it feels like to a high school student.
No one has ever suffered like I have suffered.
No.
Because
you
I
will
broke
never
up with,
understand
with a man that I know still loves me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are meant to be.
Now
we are going to get back together, and I am not crazy.
If you'll excuse me, my eggs are getting cold. Breakfast for dinner.
Pancakes.
Pancakes. Oh, that's a difference.
Windows down, radio up.
Yeah, man. And I am singing this song at the top of my lungs.
But not see, like, I can't see you doing that seriously. I can see you belting it out with the windows down, but like really like overacting, adding your own melodrama to the pre-existing melodrama.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
If I were with Brad, I would have to sing it in a mocking way and make fun of it.
Oh,
to
no,
have
but
fun.
If you were with me.
If I was alone.
Alone. Gotcha.
It would be very genuine performance.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm there with you, Katie.
I'd be going for it emotionally. I'd be making those eggs and pancakes work.
Absolutely.
Mm. I'd be pantomiming eating pancakes. I'd be pantomiming putting a toothpaste cap back on.
I'd be wiping the spots up off the mirror.
Yeah.
The mirror. Oh my God.
The mirror.
We didn't talk about the video at all.
I know. It's such a silly. There's really not a lot to say. It is quintessential 90s.
Yeah.
There's reaching. There's fabric.
Yep.
There's
Jewel. In like a silky nightgown that's like incredibly long that she wiggles out of like a snake shedding its skin.
Oh my God. And remember when we wore slips as dresses, outerwear?
Nope.
I never did that, but I remember when it was a thing. Yeah.
It was a thing. There's not much to say.
Not much to say.
Not much to say. Hearts are broken every day.
Hearts are broken every day.
She did have there was a part in the video where she did have writing on her back that said, he said, I feel like home to him.
I feel like she got that tattoo the day after they broke up.
That was just a Sharpie.
That was not a tattoo.
Yeah, but it's intended to be a tattoo.
No, it is not.
You don't think in the context of the video that's supposed to be?
You didn't write all over yourself when you were like in
middle
school.
Not on my back. No, I couldn't do that. I'm not that
flexible.
Somebody
else did it for her.
Somebody else did it.
Can you do me a favor and take this Sharpie and write this shit on my back, please?
Can you imagine asking someone to write on your back?
I'll make you pancakes if you'll just
I'm going to make one of the pancakes. But you know what? It's like trying to be conceptual 90s crap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crap.
At one point, there was like a big sailboat in the video, and then there's a tiny sailboat.
I don't remember the sailboat.
still don't understand why.
I just remember so much reaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like a, like an apparition in the background. Like
he has careless hair.
Like sort of. Oh, foolish games, baby. Careless hair.
What is your favorite Jewel song?
Oh.
Probably Foolish Games.
That is such a long song.
I know.
It is really long.
I love that song.
After 2 minutes of that song, I was exhausted. And after the 3.5 minutes of this song, I'm exhausted by this also.
This is my favorite song.
I thought you said I'm Sensitive was
that yours. Was my anthem.
What's that song about?
Anthem.
What's that song about?
It's about being proud of your sensitivity.
The like chorus is I'm sensitive and I'd like to stay that way.
I mean, first of all, was a very emotional, perhaps over-dramatic.
No, Emily, stop. Well into your 30s, Emily.
Still.
Well into your
30s. I still cry a lot. Anyway, yeah. So that song is literally like, I've had, you know, when you grow up sensitive, people are like, suck it up. Like, you've got to move past this. You're like, you know, man up, whatever, all those things. And that song is basically like, I'm sensitive and I'm going to stay this way because it's who I am.
So the first verse starts, I was thinking that I might fly today just to disprove all the things that you say. It doesn't take a talent to be mean. Your words can crush things that are unseen. So please be careful with me. I'm sensitive and I'd like to stay that way.
It's real good.
That's not nearly as cringeworthy as I find this song.
Yeah, actually, you're right. But when she sings it, for me, it's cringy.
It's a baby voice.
Oh. I'm sensitive.
Which song?
I'd like to stay that way.
Which song has the most weird Jewel voice?
Who will save your soul?
Who will save your soul definitely has the most weird Jewel voice.
You think so?
Yes.
Because it goes from like, save your soul. To the
man. And to the baddest boys. Hello, hello, I will say your soul.
And you loved it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I loved it.
I still do. Honestly, this conversation has just made me want to listen to this album.
I know, totally. I'm buying it again.
Can you wait till after we get home?
Yeah, I don't want to listen to it with you.
Not in the car. Not while I'm driving. I would appreciate that.
I won't be able to sincerely enjoy it if it's with Brad. I have to listen to this
one. We can't
on my
roll
own.
The windows down on the highway. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh.
It did. It's, I don't know. It is. It's like my childhood. Literally.
Yeah. It.
Adolescence.
Has a lot of lameness to it.
Yes.
But when I think, I don't know, when I think about the age of the writer. And the life experience of someone of that age, I think it's got enough depth to it. I'm fine with it. Yeah. And I will sing my lungs out.
Basically, Brad, you're wrong. You're wrong.
I didn't say that, but Emily did.
Guys, I gotta go.
He's so done with this conversation.
Everybody, thank you again for listening. If you have any questions, comments, song suggestions, please shoot us an email. Our email address is decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @decomp_pod, Facebook and Instagram, Decomposition Podcast. Please get yourself onto the Apple Podcast app and drop us a rating and a review. We would love to know what we are doing, good, bad, or otherwise. In the meantime, thanks again for listening, and you just chill till the next episode.
This is Brew Crime, a craft beer and true crime podcast.
I'm Mike.
I'm Beck.
And I'm Nina.
And we're your hosts.
We pair a true crime story with a craft beer
that Nina will probably hate.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. You can find our show on all your favorite podcast apps, and if you can't find it, contact us, and we'll try and change that.
We can be found at brewcrime.com or on Twitter @brewcrime. On Facebook @BrewCrime, or if you want to go to our group, it's group/BrewCrime on Facebook, or on Instagram @PacificBeerChat.
Join us as we discuss the horrible crimes that surround us and try not to giggle.